And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is vigilance. Each of my guests is discussing the need to be vigilant, whether it's in city government, in geopolitics, or as an investor. My next guest will explain why China's growing prosperity threatens the American way of life from his latest book, Red Alert. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Stephen Leeb is a best-selling financial author, he's a wealth manager, and he's the publisher of a family of investment newsletters. He's a recurring guest on CNN, Fox News, NPR, Bloomberg TV, and he's been called one of the country's foremost financial experts. Stephen accurately predicted $100 a barrel oil, the Dow's secular rise above 4,000, the collapse of the dot-com bubble, and the current bull market in precious and industrial metals. Stephen is married. He lives in New York City. He earned his BS in economics from the Wharton School of Business and a master's in mathematics and a PhD in psychology from the University of Illinois. He's definitely a man in a hurry. He earned all of his graduate degrees in just 3 years. Joining us from New York. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
Fine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And I've been warning listeners about China and their aggressively buying up the mineral rights, specifically oil, copper, and iron in Africa for the past 2 years. But your book really goes a step farther, and it posits that China is aggressively buying and monopolizing rare earth minerals worldwide, and that's a threat to the United States.
Well,
so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please finish.
Okay, I'm just going to say, first of all, for my listeners who still think that rare earth is a 1970s band, what are rare earth minerals? Why are they important? And then we'll get back to China's position on this.
Okay, rare earths are really just a class of very specific kinds of metals that are used for various purposes. The critical purposes that that are really important and should be important to everybody are in highly sophisticated electronic devices, wind turbines, anything that requires strong magnets. You need heavy rare earths. And the only place in the world right now to get heavy rare earths is China. And developing rare earths is a very, very difficult process. It's not a difficult process. Incidentally, it's kind of a misnomer. I mean, most rare earths are not really that rare. There are a lot of rarer things in this on this planet than rare earths. But what makes them very difficult to deal with is that you have to process them, you have to refine them, you have to separate them, and you have to fabricate them. And this takes not only a lot of machinery, a lot of infrastructure, it also takes a lot of training. In this country, we shut down our last rare earth mine, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, just reopened it. It's called Molycorp.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of this kind of dearth of rare earth exploration and activity in this country itself, we really don't even have the engineers to deal with these ores at this point. I mean, they tend to be radioactive. There tend to be it takes a very sophisticated understanding of the ore bodies in order to extract what you need from them. So that, you know, make a long story short, even with Molycorp, and they are functioning, they are mining, they have to send their own rare earths, what they or the ore that they get from the ground, they must send that to guess where?
China.
To process it. China has about, you know, the numbers that I've heard are 97%. Whether it's 90 or 95 or 97%, de facto, they really are in control of the rare earth elements. And that means that it's going to be very difficult to build to any scale wind turbines, very difficult to build to any scale hybrid cars, and in many cases, some of our most sophisticated defense projects products also need these heavy rare earths because they require, you know, magnetism. I mean, that's an essential component, an essential aspect of many, many electronic devices, from wind turbines, again, to defense products. China monopolizes that particular area right now. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, the book really is not just about rare earths. It's about rare earths. Rare earths are just one example of what China is doing. China has, you know, and this is really frightening. I mean, from virtually a standing start, I don't know, 3 to 5 years ago, China right now controls over 50% of the solar industry in the world. And they've done that by underpricing everybody in the silicon area. I mean, to make these solar panels, you need silicon, you need silver. China, I believe, is stockpiling probably massive amounts of silver. And in the silicon area, they have simply underpriced. I think Solyndra was a company that made big headlines recently because we invested $500 million in it. The government did. It was a poster child for what we could do in terms of green energy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, admittedly, Solyndra, there was fraud. I believe that. But basically, it was also true that no matter whether there was fraud or not, whether these guys had been willing to run their operation out of a shack, or, you know, it wouldn't have made any difference because they were being underpriced by China. No chance. Now, to sort of prove the point, if you take another solar company called Evergreen, which was really, you know, the avatar of solar or American solar, It was, you know, the sign of things to come for America. And they traded as high as about $110, $120 back in 2008. If you punch it up today, it's trading at 3 cents. It's bankrupt. And it's bankrupt because they cannot compete with China. Ditto for German companies. I spent some time the other day talking to a German businessman, you know, very successful businessman. He said, you know, our solar companies can't keep up with China anymore, and we subsidize them too. The Chinese government is willing to spend whatever it takes to grab control of critical industries in the world. And that, in many cases, means getting the resources that allows you to establish control. In wind, it's going to be obviously heavy rare earths. That's one of the things. It's obviously going to be steel, et cetera. They will assure themselves that they have enough resources on hand to build out what you have to call the infrastructure of the 21st century. And, you know, their spending, their five-year plan right now, puts things in perspective and why I am so scared, because I love this country. I really, really do. Why I am so worried. They are spending $500 billion with a T, dollars a year on new industries, mostly energy, mostly in the energy area, whether it be solar, whether it be wind, whether it be hydro, whether it be nuclear, et cetera. They are spending massive amounts of money. By 2015, they will have spent $2.5 trillion on new energy and related industries. I mean, there will be some biotech and other things there, but literally $2.5 trillion, maybe by 2017, it doesn't matter. To put that number in perspective, that's the amount of money the U.S. spent during the Second World War to win that war.
Right.
Now, it's saying to me, in a sense, coming down to it, that we're basically at war with China, except we don't know it, and they do, and they do. They're spending like they're at war. And they're spending, and we're just sort of like spending like, you know, we need to, you know, employ a few more people, and we desperately do. But we also need the focus here on what we have to do. I mean, we have, you know, I can name several Manhattan projects we need to start in this country, or else it'll be too late, or else we'll never have the resources, you know, to get the resources we need. I mean, you cannot, you know, get oil from deep water unless you use a lot of energy. And, you know, eventually get to the point where you don't have enough energy to use to get enough energy out. I mean, it takes more energy in and for how much energy you get out. I mean, you know, all resources are connected together. China gets this, and it's serious. It's very serious. And,
it is.
And it's serious right now. I mean, it's been serious for the last 10 years, 12 years, and it keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, right now, Americans, you know, you saw the latest figures from the Census Bureau. I'm not quoting Mother Jones now. I'm quoting, you know, the U.S. Census Bureau, or the U.S. Department of Labor. Real incomes in this country have fallen nearly 10% from 2007 to present. So that's really about 4 years, 10% drop in real income. And for those folks, who are not in the top 10% of the country in terms of income, the fall has been that much greater. One reason this country is struggling so mightily, one reason we are facing such incredible headwinds, is that commodity prices, food, oil, you name it, are so much more highly priced than they otherwise would be given current economic conditions. If you had gone back to, let's say, beginning of the century or 1998, 1999, and you had described to, let's say, the 20 best economists on the globe, current situation in Europe, which is, you know, nearly falling apart, current situation in the U.S. with median incomes falling, with 9.1% unemployment, and you had said to these 20 economists, where do you think the price of oil will be in under these conditions 12 years forward? Where do you think the price of copper will be under these conditions 12 years forward? The answers you probably would have gotten, they would have looked back 10 years, and they would have seen oil sort of trading up and down, and they would have picked probably the lower end of the trading range, which might be $12 a barrel, $10 a barrel. And for copper, they would have seen up and down, and they would have probably picked the lower end of that trading range, which would have been 60 cents, 50 cents a pound. Excuse me. And copper today sits at around 320. And oil, if you look at Brent crude, which is really the best benchmark of oil, is sitting at about $110 a barrel.
Well, now let me stop you right there, Stephen,
okay.
Because I want to talk, but there's so much in those answers, I've got to come back to it. My guest is Stephen Leeb. He's talking about his book, Red Alert, How China's Growing Prosperity Threatens the American Way of Life. And looking at, let's just take oil as an example. I'm not sure that if you use your example of economists from 1998, if they would have gotten things right, I'm not sure if that just tells you about the bad state of economies, economists picking and predicting things, or if they really have a grasp on it. But I want to talk about oil, because oil has always been a harbinger for alarmists to talk about, hey, we're running out of oil. That started way back in the 1930s when the Pennsylvania oil started to dry up. But then we found Spindletop in Texas. California came online. In the 1970s, just more recently, economists were talking about we'll be out of oil by the year 2000. And yet, here we are later, way past the year 2000, and we have oil. Also, in the 1970s, we feared OPEC. OPEC was going to gain control over oil and was going to jack up the price of oil so high that we couldn't control it. You know, but every time there was a dire prediction about oil, about scarcity, some new technology came along and made it possible for us to continue to suck up oil like we have. Now, ultimately, won't the same thing happen with these rare earth minerals? I mean, our supply of rare earth minerals may appear to be dwindling, but won't there be technologies that come along? Maybe some of them are invented here in the United States, maybe some in Europe, that will help us to alleviate the scarcity issue.
No, I think you ask an excellent question. And, yeah, it could be. And for oil, could be. But the technologies aren't visible right now. And, yes, I mean, but what you're saying, you know, as opposed to what, you know, I'm trying to say, you know, I'm not arguing or anything.
No.
I hope new technologies do come along. And if they do, could they alleviate the situation? Absolutely. You know, what you say is totally, completely right. But we are, I think, past the point where we don't want to run our country in the belief that there's a technology god out there who will simply, you know, drop the right technologies on us just exactly when we need them. Now, it hasn't happened in oil. I mean, you know, in effect, $110 oil is so far out of whack with median income. Median income in this country, Bill, for the bottom 90%, take off the top 10%. The median income for the bottom 90% is about $31,000 a year and declining in real terms. That is so out of whack with the kind of gasoline prices that you're paying. At least on the East Coast, I know you can still, you know, if you're using high test or whatever it is, you can still pay close to $4. And even if you're using the lowest grades, you're going to be paying $3.30. And, you know, that could be $75 to fill up a big tank of gas. That doesn't connect with incomes that are $32,000, median income, for the bottom 90% of the population. So oil has, you know, fulfilled, to some extent, those horrific prophecies. It's right here. It's happening right in front of us. So you can't, you know, it didn't happen in the 70s. Oil went way back down again. It hasn't happened. Oil's been basically in an uptrend now for the last 10 or 12 years. This is not something that, you know, has just happened. Copper has been in an uptrend, also very volatile, very, tumultuous uptrend. But again, for the last, since the beginning of this century, maybe a little bit before, but, you know, returning to oil, the prophecies have come true. I mean, there's no more argument about it. We have a major issue with hydrocarbons, huge, massive, and it's getting worse by the day.
Well, no doubt about that. We're hydrocarbon sluts. But let me just go on to ask you for a couple of predictions, because you predicted the high price of oil. You got that one right. You've also predicted the high price of coal, that there's going to be a coal spike in price. Now, that could be good for the United States because we are the number one producer of coal worldwide. Where do you see the prices of coal going, and how will that help or hurt the United States?
Well, I think that, you know, high prices for coal, I think, theoretically could help the United States. I mean, to the extent that we export coal. But I think we're going to need a lot of that coal for, you know, internal purposes. And also true is that there are good arguments. Yes, the U.S. has a tremendous amount of coal, but we have probably already mined a huge amount of the high energy content coal. Now, there are many arguments that, I'm glad you mentioned coal, there are many arguments to suggest the United States, in terms of energy, content of coal, is already past its peak. In other words, we're not producing more energy from coal this year than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese, and this is, again, something that should worry people. I mean, one of the articles I read when I was writing this book was, an academic article written by, you know, several Chinese scientists. And I don't know where they published it, but it was obviously in a good journal. And they argued, I think very forcefully, I'm not the only ones that have said this, they said, hey, we've got to be very careful. Because sometime in the next decade, that's the 2020s, you know, 2025 or so, coal production worldwide is going to peak. There's only so much of that, believe it or not. I mean, and the rate we're using it, meaning the Chinese, et cetera, no matter what, it's going to start going down in price. And I think this is one of the things that informs the Chinese about developing renewable energies like wind, like solar, like, you know, hydro, etc. And again, I come back to this point. You can argue that the Chinese are wrong, that these people are wrong about peaking hydrocarbons, that technology could come along and save the day. I hope it does. I pray that it does. But I don't think this country wants to be in a position where it's praying for something to happen. I think this country wants to really recognize that we are in kind of a war with China now, not a shooting war, and I hope it never comes to that, God forbid, but a war over, you know, the resources that will allow us to build out the proper infrastructure for this century, the infrastructure that will allow our children to have the same kind of lives we had. We're blowing it right now. We really are blowing it in spades, and that's what really worries me. Could technology, again, coming back to your point, come along? I mean, I talk about that in the book, too. Yeah, but they're not going to come along unless we fund them to the tunes of probably, you know, many, many, many billions of dollars. I can name some of the technologies that I think have promise, and I pray that we spend enough money to develop them. Nano silver, when it comes to solar, would be, you know, certainly one thing. Graphite, which is a carbon material, could also be, you know, very useful. There are things there, but we're not spending any money doing anything about it.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Stephen. I'm sorry, we've just run out of time. We'll have to have you back because this is a really worthwhile discussion, and I want to explore it a little bit further. My guest has been Stephen Leeb. He's the author of the book Red Alert: How China's Growing Prosperity Threatens the American Way of Life. Stephen, you've got a lot of good things to say. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Oh, good. You just look me up, Stephen Leeb, or look up The Complete Investor. That's the name of one of my newsletters. And just Google, you know, either one and you'll find me.
The Complete Investor or Stephen Leeb, L-E-E-B.
Yes.
That's where they'll find
me. The good stuff about me, my Wikipedia things, and none of the bad stuff.
All right, Stephen. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to be with us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. My pleasure.
My pleasure.